బుక్ ఆఫ్ యాక్ట్స్ చాప్టర్ 23 స్టార్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ వర్స్ 1.
And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for thou sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.
Okay. Last week, if you remember, Paul wanted to say something. And now Paul is talking to the elders, the Jewish people. There are Sadducees, there are Pharisees, there are all kinds of people standing there to listen to Paul. And Paul started saying, you know what I'm doing up to now, by the grace of God, I am living perfect life. That means he is praising God, glorifying God, and he is doing everything. He says, I lived in all good conscience before God until this day. That means the word of God says if your conscience bothers you, you do not have confidence before God. If your conscience doesn't bother you, that means you have confidence towards God. So Saint Paul standing here and saying to these people, I lived in all good conscience before God until this day, is a good testimony. Is a testimony to those people. They were accusing him wherever Paul went. They tried to accuse him. He is not living according to the law. He is not living according to the will of God. He is deceiving people and he is destroying our religion. But now he is saying, I did not do anything wrong to anyone. He is trying to say, why you people are trying to find some fault in me, which I didn't do anything. So now, when he was talking this way, there was a priest called Ananias, commanded somebody, the people who were listening to him, smite the Paul on his mouth. And can you imagine the people were standing there and somebody might have slapped on his face, and if somebody slaps on your face, especially on your lips, you get hurt. And so Paul got mad. And Paul said something. Let's read the verse 3.
Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, that whited wall, for thou sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law.
Now what he's trying to say, now Paul knew this is the judge, is a higher authority. But he did not know, according to Paul, he did not know he was a priest. Even though he's a priest or he's a judge, they have to judge the people according to the law. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, and read verse 1 to 3. Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verses 1 to 3.
If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed less if he should exceed, and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee.
Okay. This was the law. What the law is saying, if you bring somebody to the court, judge has to find that person guilty. And when the person is guilty, then he should be punished. The judgment is given. If somebody did something wrong, the person has to lie down on the floor and then hit him according to what punishment is, but you cannot hit that person more than 40 lashes. If you do that, then it's against the law. That's why what they did to Jesus Christ, they hit him 39 stripes and stopped. You understand? 39 times they hit and they stopped, and then later on they start all over again, 39. They never made 40. So they will count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 up to 39 and start beating again. But whatever happened, this is not in our subject, but I'm just giving a point here. 39 times they hit Jesus Christ. They did the research today. All the disease comes in 39 categories. Every disease. No 40, no 28. 39. Now they don't make any more categories. Every disease will fall one of the categories. And there are 39. Why? Jesus Christ took 39 stripes on his back. So with his stripes, we are healed. No matter what your sickness and disease is. So here Paul is saying to the judge, you are hitting me against the law because I am not judge yet. Nobody found out I'm guilty or not guilty. And he called him whitewashed wall. And the whitewashed wall, he is not talking about the house wall. He's talking about the wall, means the person who is dead, they buried and they make a tomb and they whitewash the tomb looking good. Book of Acts chapter 23 verse 5.
And it said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.
Right. Now Paul is saying, I know the law. I know the scriptures. If this man broke the law, that's why I said it this, and I did not know he is a priest. And he says it is written. Where is written? Exodus chapter 22, verse 28. Please read.
Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people.
Now, he's trying to say, this is a law that you should not be go against. He says gods. He's not talking about this heathen gods or things like that. God says to Moses, I made you God to the Pharaoh. That means godly people are even considered gods, or God's people, or the higher authorities. You should not be saying something bad or something, you know, accusing them. They are God's chosen people. So there's a law. That's why David, even the he was anointed one, and Saul was anointed one, and Saul was in the hand of David. David should have killed him, but David did not kill him because one of his soldiers says, give me command and let me kill the Saul. But he did just cut the garment of Saul and said, Saul, I would have killed you, but look at this garment in my hand. What David was saying, he said, I cannot lay hand on the anointed man of God. So you cannot say something bad to the man of God, or you cannot touch the anointed man of God. That's why somebody said, don't you know he's a high priest and you're saying something like that? Then he quoted the words from the Exodus. I know this is what the word of God says, but I didn't know he was the priest. So he confessed and he says, I'm wrong. Okay, Acts 23 verse 6.
But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question.
Now see, Paul is a smart man. He knew these people are trying to trap him, try to accuse him. And he thought, only way I can get out of this, to tell these people, I'm a Pharisee. Why he said that I'm a Pharisee, do you know? You will know from the scripture if you read a little bit further. He said this to find out how many people are Pharisees in his sight and how many Sadducees in other side. Because now they were united, unitedly trying to destroy Paul. So he's trying to say, do you know I'm a Pharisee? My father was Pharisee. And Pharisee believes in resurrection. Pharisee believes in God and they believe in angels. And all of these things I believe. And because of that, you people are questioning me and trying to accuse me. I believe in resurrection. So Pharisees believe in resurrection, they believe in God, they believe in angels, and they believe in all of these things. Sadducees do not believe in resurrection. So right away, people start thinking why they are accusing. And he's saying, this is the reason you are questioning me, because I'm a Pharisee. You remember last time when the Roman chief officer wanted to condemn him and hit him and find out what the truth is, and he said, I'm a Roman citizen. You cannot beat the Roman citizen until you find him guilty. So they could not beat him. Same time, now he is trying to say, I'm a Pharisee, I believe in resurrection, and some of you do not. That's why this is all about, and you are questioning me. Verse 7.
And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided.
Now, see what happened? As soon as he said that, people start thinking, why we should be harassing our own man? If he's a Pharisee, and we are Pharisees, so we are going to protect him. And there was a division, and they start fighting to each other. Such a way that somebody is pulling Paul this way and somebody is pulling Paul this way. They wanted to almost tear him apart. So let's read. Verse 8.
For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God.
Okay, now you remember Paul was giving testimony and telling them, I saw the light, Jesus Christ talked to me, and right away they start fighting and they wanted to kill him, but soldier came and they took control and they said, okay, tomorrow we will have council and then you talk. Now they're saying, now we know. Paul heard the voice from heaven, Jesus Christ talked to him. Maybe that was angel. Maybe God talked to him. Why are we harassing him? Because Pharisees believed, this is our guy, this is our man, and we should not be killing him, we should not be fighting with him, we should protect him. And that's what they were doing. Verse 10.
When there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down, to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle.
Okay, now see, when these people are fighting to each other and trying to destroy Paul, the soldiers and officers, they came to know, if we do not do anything, Paul will be killed. And so they went and took the Paul from their hand, and see what happens. Verse 11.
And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.
Now this thing happened, he saw a vision in the night. Because God spoke to Paul and said, Paul, you testified about me in Jerusalem. You remember when he was going to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit spoke through the disciples. Even the Agabus told him, don't go, because they are going to arrest him, they are going to bind him, they are going to do something to you, and so they are going to give you in the Gentiles' hand. And all of these things Paul heard. But the last time I told you, God did not tell Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. God told him in the beginning, when he saw the first time vision, he says, get out of the Jerusalem and go to Gentiles. But Paul went from Jerusalem to Gentiles. Now this was his last journey. He's returning to Jerusalem, but he had no idea. I'm talking about Paul. Paul had no idea that he has to go to Rome. He came to Jerusalem and he thought, doesn't matter what happens, I'll give my life for the sake of Christ in Jerusalem. And that's the reason he came to Jerusalem. But now God is talking to him, Paul, you are not going to stay in Jerusalem. You witness for me now, I'm going to let you go to Rome. And that's what he comforted Paul. Otherwise, Paul didn't know what to do. Stay in Jerusalem or go out of Jerusalem or how to get out of this. He was trapped. No way he could get out of this. So the Spirit of the Lord or God talked to him and said, Paul, you're going to go to Rome. Let's read verse 12.
And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul.
Now see, Paul didn't know all of these things. When God told him, go to Rome and witness, how Paul is going to go? He cannot get out of these people's hand. He cannot say, yesterday night or last night, I saw the vision that I should go to Rome. Let me go. Nobody is going to allow him. They say, every day you say, somebody talk to me. I cannot let you go. But this was the plan of God to take him to Rome. So now here, some Jewish people, almost 40 people, say, we are going to fast until we kill the Saul. We are not going to eat anything. And so we want to kill the Paul. And they had the idea how to kill it. Let's read further. Verse 13.
And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, wherever he come near, are ready to kill him.
Now see, these people, 40 people or more, went to the chief council, high priest and elders, and said, listen, we have the idea. We want to kill the Paul, so what you do, you just tell the Roman officers, bring him to our council. We want to talk to him and find out something from Paul. This is just the trick. And when he comes, we will hide somewhere and we will kill the Paul. And we have made an oath. We made a promise to ourselves. We are not going to eat anything until we kill Paul. And they thought it's a good idea. They were going to do these things. But see what God does. Okay, verse 16.
When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him, pray me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee.
Okay, now see how God's doing. Paul's sister's son, I don't know how old he is, maybe he's a teenager. He comes to Paul and says, Paul, I heard these people are going to do these things. So the Paul says, okay, call the centurion, go and talk to the officers and tell what you know. And then he's going to go to the centurion to tell this story. Let's read verse 19.
And the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they are lying wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee.
Okay, now see, this boy has to be have a lot of courage to go to the military quarters, and sometimes they don't allow you to go. But he got the courage, he came, talked to Paul, and Paul said to the centurion took him to the chief officer, and chief officer got all this news from this child. And this boy is saying, listen to me, please do not allow Paul to go to the council, otherwise those people will kill him. And the council said, okay, you go quietly, don't tell anybody what you told us. Let's read further.
So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto him 2 centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, spearmen 200, at the third hour of the night.
Okay. All of a sudden, when the boys left, this man got all the centurions, means 2 centurions, like a 200 soldiers, spearmen, on all the horsemen, and they give one horse to Paul, and they departed 9 o'clock in the night, when all these people are thinking, tomorrow we will go and tell this Roman people to bring the Paul and we'll kill him. But God knows how to protect you. The enemy comes like a flood, the word of God says. But what? God raised the standard higher. Not only that, he says, enemy comes one way, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7, but they will run 7 ways. They were planning and fasting and trying to kill Paul, but God had the plan for Paul. What God said to him in a vision? Paul, you should be going to Rome to witness about me. Now see how God is making a plan for him to go to Rome. So they all, this many soldiers and all these warriors, took Paul, and safely they are going. Let's read.
And provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews, and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell.
Okay, this is the letter by the chief officer to the Felix, maybe the governor. And he told me everything. This man is a Roman citizen. This man did not do anything wrong that we should bind him or we should kill him. But these Jewish people tried to kill him, and so that's why I'm sending this man to you. See, God knows everything, and if you sit there and start crying about your problems, the problem gets bigger. Paul knew one after another trouble coming, but God spoke to him. Paul, you are giving a good witness. That's why Paul said, my conscience is good in the sight of God. I'm not worried what other people say, as long as my heart is not condemning me. So God made the plan for him. God protected him. And now he is coming to the Felix. And the man wrote a very good letter that this man did nothing. He is not guilty of any crime that we should bind him or we should kill him. So indirectly he is trying to say, do not condemn this man. Do not kill this man. I am sending this man to you. Okay, let's read further. Verse 31.
Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night into Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea, had delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall.
Amen. Now here, when he came to Caesarea, now he said, you know what I'm going to do? I want the accuser to come here and accuse him. And then I will give the judgment. That means now, at least, until the accuser comes, and until people accuse him, Paul is free man. For Paul to go from Jerusalem to Rome, he has to go by chain, go in the boat, and we will be hearing pretty soon how much trouble he had to reach to Rome. But our God is a good God. Okay, we are going to finish here. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We thank you how you protected Paul from the lion's mouth, not one time, but many a time. And that gives us courage to do more for your glory. The people who came before us, they gave their life for you. And there are so many Christians today, they have so much comfortable life. They cannot even go out and tell somebody what Jesus Christ has done for them. Give us grace to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. Father, give us grace to live a life pleasing in your sight. Not looking left or right, looking unto Jesus Christ, who has called us with a definite high calling. Bless each and everyone who is sitting and standing in this hall, and give them the vision to go and preach and teach the word of God to everyone in Philadelphia. Give us grace to do it for the glory of God. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.